amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, if you would, look with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 6. Wednesday nights we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua, the life of Joshua. And we've been able to see a lot of what the Bible reveals to us about Joshua even before we got into the book, the Bible book of Joshua. Joshua is a man, and how God had prepared him in Egypt, and he come out of Egypt, and how he prepared him in the wilderness and on through all the different things. The last message we spoke on was found on chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, where Joshua, in preparing to go into Jericho, he would listen to God to get his battle plans. And, of course, God had battle plans for them, and it would not have been exactly what Joshua would have planned if he was planning it himself. God's plans are not exactly our plans if we plan ourselves. And if you're going to have the right plans to follow, you need to look to God to get his plans. And so as Joshua went there, we studied the three things that Joshua did. Is first of all, he kept an open mind. Kept an open mind so that he would not block out God's plan, thinking his plan was better. No, he kept an open mind to God's plan, no matter what it was. Now, again, when God told him what he was going to tell him to do and how he was going to win the victory at Jericho, he had to have an open mind, because that was not what he would have planned. And can I tell you, like I said before, we have to be careful, because God's plans are better than our plans, and we have to keep an open mind to God. And then he exercised faith in God's plan. Once he knew what was God's plan, he committed to it. Once you understand God's plan for the Christian life, stop trying to change it, commit to it. When you understand God's plan for marriage, stop trying to change God's plan and commit to God's plan. When it comes to finances, when it comes to service, all the different things, stop trying to change God's plan. The world's doing that today. Sometimes Christians are doing that today. Stop. and just commit to doing it God's way. Amen? Because you can't have a better plan than God's plan. Just commit to it. And then the third thing, he expected victory. God told him to expect victory. And so tonight, that was verses 1 through 9. Tonight we're going to be looking at verse 10 down through 20. And verse 10 down to 20, what we're looking at here is the execution of God's plan. The execution of God's plan. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll read it together. And then we'll try to help apply it to our lives tonight. And Wednesday night, it has been hot and muggy today. And if you've been working outside, I know that you are a wreck right now. I mean, you are just exhausted. But it is air conditioned in here, amen? And so there's no excuse to stay awake, amen, unless you're on medication. Stay awake, plug into what God has for us tonight. And I believe it's something that will help you. And God has something to help you. You've already got half the battle won. You're here. And the other half of the battle is making sure we take in what God has for us. So Joshua chapter 6, verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout." So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of being in church tonight and what we've already experienced and the blessings of already that we've already received. But now as we've looked into this passage of Scripture, we read it, I pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of it, and that you would open up the hearts and minds of everyone here to receive exactly what you would have them to receive. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So they're to execute the plan. Verse 10, the first thing that we find that they were to do in executing the plan was to keep quiet. Did you get that? Look at verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then ye shall shout. For many, this might be the hardest thing to do in fighting the battles that we're engaged in. Shall not shout. Now, most of the time when the armies would engage themselves in battle, you would have the people on each side shouting for their army. But God says, you're not to shout, nor make any noise. Sometimes we do more damage by making noises than we do by using words. Have you ever noticed, you know, when somebody's upset with whatever is going on, and they might not say anything, but they make a lot of noises, grunts. He said, I don't want you doing that. I don't want anybody, especially the enemy, looking down from the walls of Jericho and seeing you down there grunting. Nor any word. I don't want you shouting. I don't want you grunting. I don't want you saying any word. Sounds a little bit strange. But the way they were going to get the victory is a little bit strange. It wasn't according to man's plan. It's according to God's plan. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 and verse 7 says this, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Are we sensitive to God and His will for our lives as we're fighting the different battles of life, of making sure that we say the right things at the right time? Now, the enemy, quite possibly, the enemy would have been yelling all kinds of obscenities. They were marching around this fortress. They would do it for 7 days. On the seventh day, they would go around seven times. Can you imagine all the different things that were being said, all the different sounds that they heard coming from the enemy's camp, all of those standing on the wall watching them, wondering, why in the world are you walking around our city? By the seventh time on the last day, can you imagine what kind of mockery, what kind of things were being thrown at them and laughing at them and harassing them? And in all of this, we find that God says, you shall not shout, you shall not make any noise, and you shall not say any word. It's of the old nature to say what's on our minds. It's not a sin to have it on your mind. It's a sin to keep it on your mind and act upon it. It's a sin if you keep it on your mind, if you accept it in your own thinking, that's a sin. You can't help but to have certain thoughts go through your mind. The devil can plant certain thoughts, and the devil can try to tempt you to think a certain way. That is not sin. I heard an old preacher say one time, you can't help from having birds fly over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. Amen? You can't help by words and thoughts coming through our minds, especially we have a sinful nature, and we hear all the things going on in the world, and what the world says does affect us to some extent. Satan wants to use the world. He wants to use the flesh. He wants to use a sinful old nature to get us to think wrong thoughts. And if you keep it on your mind, then you'll act it out. All these things were taking place. The enemy hard telling what was being said, what was being hurled at them. And all the time, they had to remember what God said and how to fight the battle. Shall not shout, not make any noise, not say any words. The world is expecting Christians to respond this way because they respond that way. And they want to discard any thought that your religion or your beliefs are real. When we act like the world acts and we return evil for evil, listen to me, what you're doing is you're giving them ammunition to use against you and to use against the cause of Christ to say, see what I was saying? There's nothing to that. I'm just as good as they are. And they're just as bad as I am. So it's not God's plan that we were to return evil for evil. He knew that there was going to be a lot of evil coming at them by words, by sounds, by shouts. And he said, you're different. Be quiet. Yeah. Romans chapter 12. Let's apply it. Romans in chapter 12. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The world is expecting you to respond in like manner. They're expecting that. God says, the enemy is going to expect you to shout back what they're shouting at you. They're going to expect you to make noises as they're making noises at you. They're going to expect you to use words and possibly the same words that they're throwing out at you. But God said, these are my battle plans, and you are to obey my battle plans, and my battle plans are that you be quiet and not return evil for evil. Holding our tongue can make the difference in winning the battles with your spouse, with your children, with your parents. How many times have you said something that you wish you could take back right after it come out of your mouth? You can never take it back. You can never. Yeah. And usually what comes out of your mouth is an indication of what's going on inside of you. And now you've just revealed what's going on inside of you. And that can cause more damage than what you're able to overcome. I'm here, and you're here, and Israel was there to represent God. To the lost and dying world, which are against us, which would defeat you if you let them defeat you. Jericho was not going to lay down and let the armies of God just have their city. They wanted to defeat the armies of God, and by defeating the armies of God, then they would defeat God. And they're thinking, Israel's God, who they are supposed to represent. And we let the world defeat us, then they are, in their minds, defeating the God that we serve. I'm here to represent my God. That's why in Romans in chapter 12, we read verse 17, verse 21. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's why, but then it says in verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Because you are here to be a witness. We are here to be the light. We are here to be the salt. You can't witness to people that will not give you an ear, what don't want to be around you. So you got to be careful. He said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. It's not about seeking revenge. It's not about me winning a battle. It's about me representing God so that God can be glorified in and through every battle that I fight. That Jesus Christ can be exalted and true Christianity can be seen by how we deal with things. Avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Stop seeking vengeance. Because it will determine how you speak to that individual, how you grunt toward that individual. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Feed him? You're not representing you. You're representing the grace of God. You're representing Jesus Christ who died for all humanity. Feed him. He's not expecting that. And when you do something that the world's not expecting, they see something different in you, then it allows the Holy Spirit of God to be able to speak to them as far as the reality and the genuineness of your Christianity. Amen? If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. If he repents, he won't have that. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I want you to look there with me. I want to read this to you. It goes right along with what we're presenting here in this truth. James in chapter 3 and verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth through the tongue. Through the tongue. You're not winning that battle because you're not controlling your tongue. You're not representing Christ because you're not controlling the tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. We've got to see it as that. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. Look right here, my brethren, these things ought not so to be, and so be quiet. Instead of letting the devil use your tongue for revenge, you're not here seeking revenge. You're here seeking to represent Jesus Christ. And so if I'm going to represent Jesus Christ, I can't say what I want to say. I can't say what the nature wants me to say. I can't say what the world is saying. I need to speak for Christ. Wow. Yeah. That's why I'm saying many battles are lost because of the tongue. Many marriages are destroyed because of the tongue. Many relationships between parents and children are lost because of the tongue. Many friendships are separated because of the tongue. I think we need to learn the lesson that God has given us through Joshua. Shall not shout, nor make any noise, or any word, until I tell you what you are to say, and how you are to respond, and what you are to shout. Don't go on your own, because you'll make a mess of things. Amen? Yeah. How many can say, I've made a mess of things? Yeah. You need to turn to your wife and say, I'm sorry. Maybe you need to turn to your husband and say, I take it back. I really didn't mean it. Yeah. Go back with me, our text. The first thing he tells him, this is what they're doing. Executing the plan. The plan is so much different than what anyone could have ever imagined. But it's God's plan. And when you're executing God's plan, you have to do it God's way. Keep quiet. It takes self-control. See, God did not want the voice of man to be heard. He did not want the voice of man to be heard. What he wanted to be heard was the presence of God to be made aware of through the priest controlling the sound. Chapter 6 of verse 13. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns. That was a special noise. That was a special sound. Before the ark of the Lord, look right here, went on continually. If you're shouting, if you're grunting, if you're saying words, you're taking away from what God wanted them to hear. If I'm fighting a battle, if I want to win the battle, I want people to hear from God and respond to God's presence. Because if they respond to God's presence, I'll get the victory. I tell couples all the time, if you are right with God and in the will of God, doing the thing of God, and your spouse is in the will of God and doing right by God, then you will be what each other needs. If you want to have a relationship that is blessed, you can have a relationship as blessed. If both of you are in the will of God, then both of you, you will give to each other that which God has given to you to give to the other one. You can be all that that spouse needs if you are in the will of God. If you're married, that husband is the will of God for your life. And the will of God, if he's in the will of God, he is going to make you the best husband that you could ever ask for. If you are in the will of God, you will make him the best wife that he could ever ask for, because God's plan for marriage is perfect. People mess it up. But if you are letting Christ control you as a man and you're letting Christ control you as a woman, you can have the marital blessings for life. You can. Trouble is, we speak and we grunt and we make noises and we sometimes shout for the wrong things. Need to get back to representing Christ in that relationship. God said, you be quiet. I've got the sound that I want them to hear. No matter what they say, no matter how they shout, no matter what they throw at you, they're going to hear a sound that God's going to work through to eventually defeat them if they don't yield to it. The sound of the ram's horns were to be heard continually. A lot of times in counseling, I pray ahead of time. God, help me to be able to discern what's taking place so that I might be able to give them the right count. If you're lying to me, I can't give you the right counsel. And God, help me to discern. In the middle of the counsel, a lot of times I'm asking God, help me to, this doesn't sound right, doesn't feel right. Help me to help them by possibly taking a stand and saying, you're not being honest. I've done that a few different times, and it's a little scary stepping out like that. But I've never had it fail. And I've had the Spirit of God convict individuals and they break down and say, preacher, I'm sorry. I haven't been honest with you. This and this and this is going on in my life. And I haven't been doing this, this, and this. And I said I did and I'm not. I didn't. Sometimes you got to rely on the Spirit of God to speak to people so that they would respond to the Spirit of God and not respond to your words. Many times it's better just to be quiet and pray for a situation. You've heard me say this before in a different light, but it's better to love at a distance than to fight up close. If you fight up close, there is a spiritual battle going on that you can't control. And so until you get the right thinking, stay at a distance and pray. Stay at a distance and pray. Love, definitely love. Make sure that you don't give up on the love, but stay at a distance and pray that God would change a heart so that when you get back together, you're able to make it work. And you no longer fight when you get up close because God has changed your heart or changed their heart. Yeah, a lot of times I've seen people at the altar here. I see somebody weeping over here and somebody weeping over here. Before you know it, that person goes to that person. Then they're both at the altar weeping, saying, I'm thinking, praise God. If I would have tried to get in between and say, all right, you come over here and you come over here and this is what, and this is, I would have made a mess of things. Because it's not my timing, it's God's timing. I can't play the Holy Spirit. I've just got to pray. I got to sometimes keep quiet. Keep quiet and just get back and say, pray and let the Spirit of God work because they're hearing the same messages. And let the messages speak to them to convict a heart, to help them to see that they're not handling things in the right way, and they make it right. And then we're all shouting victory. That's what was going on. Yeah. Keep quiet. Shout at the appropriate time. That's the next thing he said. Shout at the appropriate time. Verse 16, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. You can make any noise you want to make now. You can say any word you want to say, and you can shout for joy. Yeah. Can I tell you, they shouted at the appropriate time, and it would be before the walls fell. Anybody can shout after the walls fall. It takes faith to shout before they fall. After they shouted, God would use the shout to knock down the walls. Speaking when God leads us to speak, and saying what God would have us to say, has to be in God's timing. Don't force it. Well, I just got to get this worked out right now. It's got it. Not unless God's telling you. Not unless you know exactly what God wants you to say. Give it time. Back off. Give it some time. Only speak when God tells you to speak. And only say what God tells you to say. When you do it that way, it can be very powerful and very effective in defeating the enemy. Yeah. Keep quiet. Shout at the appropriate time. And then be encouraged in God's plan working. They shouted. The walls fell. You could not find a more encouraged, excited, rejoicing group of people than when those walls fell. Look at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down, and this is important, flat. And fell down flat so that the people went before him, so that the people went up unto the city, every man straight before him. They didn't have to climb over the pillars of walls that fell down. Some say these were double walls. have never been penetrated before. Many armies came and tried. They never had been penetrated before. And yet at the shout of the people, they fell down flat, which God used to pave a road where they could go straight into the city. When God does something, you know God did it. Yeah. He paved a way to enter into the city. Their faith to shout became sight when the walls fell flat. They rejoiced and enjoyed the works of God. Can I tell you, all of us need to rejoice and enjoy the works of God in our lives. Yeah. Satan would love to get you to forget what God has done for us. And that takes away your shout. That takes away your joy. Through faith, God has given us a new nature. God has given us a new life. Are you still shouting over that? Through faith, you know that you're saved. You know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know that you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God inside of you. Have you forgot what God has done through faith? Because you forgot what God has done through faith, you haven't had faith to rejoice and to shout the victory. If you're saved, you have a tremendous victory. Amen. If you're saved, you have what most of humanity will never have. Few there be that find it. If you're saved, you have so much to shout for, to rejoice over. God's, he's not telling you to be quiet there. You need to rejoice. You need to shout. When it comes you looking to what God has done for you, you need to be shouting the joys of Christianity. You need to be telling whoever will listen about the Savior who changed your life. About the Savior and the Word of God who salvaged your marriage. About your Savior and the Word of God that's helped you to know how to raise godly children. It's all there. Rejoice and enjoy the works that God has done in your life. A changed life with many blessings and many victories that the devil would love to get you to forget. The battle plans, now executing them, God says, these are the battle plans. This is how I want you to execute them. God has a battle plan for you and I today in this 21st century. And he has a way for us to execute these battle plans. And I trust we'll do just that. It will make a difference. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Are we wise enough to keep quiet when we need to keep quiet? Are we wise enough to shout at the appropriate time? Are we wise enough to be encouraged over God working in our lives? I trust we will. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word and the life of Joshua and, Lord, all these biblical principles that can be applied to the understanding of your victory for Joshua and the nation of Israel over Jericho. And pray that we would likewise get the victory in our own lives. Work in our invitation. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen.